Okay, welcome to the Laurel Mountain Highlands area of Narcotics Anonymous 5th Annual Unity Retreat. We would like you to join us in celebrating the recovery and fellowship that we have come to know, need, and deserve in our lives. We encourage you to share in our NA Unity through your experience, strength, and hope in our wide variety of workshops. This is an open retreat. All are welcome to attend. However, we ask that only addicts share in the workshop. In accordance with our seventh tradition, we are fully self-supporting. Thank you for registering. We should remember that our actions this weekend are a direct reflection on Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. Let's carry the NA message, not the mess. What is the message? Our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict that still suffers, because that is all we have to give, that no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. The NA way. In Narcotics Anonymous, we are presented with a dilemma. When NA members identify themselves as addicts and alcoholics, cross addicts, or talk about living clean and sober, the clarity of the NA message is blurred. To speak in this manner suggests that there are two diseases, that one drug is separate from the rest. Narcotics Anonymous makes no distinction between drugs. Our identification as addicts is all-inclusive, allowing us to concentrate on our similarities, not our differences. To the press and members of the press this morning. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. If any members of the press are present, please come to the registration table where you will be referred to our public information chairperson. We respectfully ask that no pictures be taken during Unity Retreat by the press. If any NA members are approached by the press, please refer them to the registration table. Remember, no one person represents NA. Please do not attempt to represent NA to the press alone. Thank you. And please observe no smoking in all buildings. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm an addict. My name is Angel.
Hello.
Welcome to this workshop entitled Sponsorship. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, could we please have the reading of We Do Recover?
And
God.
When at the end of the road we find we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter end, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in history, a simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious, program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thanks, God. Okay, time for the speaker. The first gentleman we have speaking for us is a dear friend of mine, and I know from experience that it's got a lot to give. I'll give you Steve from Recovery on the Mount, South Hills Group.
Got my water bottle. Got my lid. There we are. Where'd the podium go, though? Kind of naked up here. I was just looking for a stack of chairs, maybe. I've been clean since August 3rd, 1986. It's a pleasure to, it's an honor to be asked to speak. It's not fairly a pleasure. This one, and you know, like I heard a couple other people say this weekend, I just I when I'm asked to speak, I get asked to speak every now and again, and when I'm asked to speak, I usually, at this stage of the game, I usually can just try to organize a few thoughts. And not really script anything, but just try to, I guess the best word would be meditate on what it is I've been asked to share about. And for some reason, nothing has gelled for me with it. My sponsor told me a long time ago, he said, when you get asked to speak, there's three things that you need to be an effective speaker. You need honesty, you need humility, and you need humor. And he said, if you can have those three things, you'd probably be relatively effective. And for me, that's proven true time and time again. The people that I hear, those are the three qualities that exist in their message. And I'm pretty good with honesty today, and some days I'm good with humility. But the humor part, I was thinking, you know what? I don't know one sponsorship joke. I just don't. I got a great second step joke. You want to do that? Really, really good. But I don't have any sponsorship jokes. So I got up this morning, and one of the things that I've experienced this year through sponsorship. Let me preface it with saying that. About a year ago, my marriage of 20 years ended, and there was a huge void in my life, and I, not that I had ever left the fellowship, but I dove back into the fellowship. I was at least a meeting a day. It was the only place I had to go. I couldn't drive around the block anymore. You know what I mean? And I couldn't sit in my apartment alone. I was afraid that I was going to do something stupid. And so I really, really immersed myself back in the fellowship. And I came to meetings, and I spilled this emotion all over the floor. And of course, newcomers came in and said, "Wow, yeah, he's really something, isn't he?" Or maybe it's just that that you get what you need right when you need it. And a couple of new guys came into my life. My point is that as a sponsor to these new guys, and a couple of them were returnees, who frankly for me are harder to reach sometimes than the new people, because you know, as returnees sometimes we think we know something, and the reality of it is, for me anyway, is what we knew got us high, and maybe we missed something, but anyway, my point is that I found myself relatively I felt inadequate to try and be as a resource to these guys, and I really turned back to the literature in a way that I hadn't maybe ever in relation to sponsorship, and I let the literature start talking for me. And they thought I was, wise, and seasoned, and an old sage, and I'm just talking what's in the book, I'm just saying what 10,000 addicts said before me. Oh, well, yeah, there is no other way. One of the things that for me was really, really helpful in the basic text, because sponsorship doesn't get talked about a whole lot in the basic text. It gets referred to a little bit, and the only chapter that really expands on the concept of sponsorship much is the "What Can I Do" chapter, and there it talks about what a sponsor is and what a sponsor does, so I've been turning to the literature to help me carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous, because it can do it better for me than anything else can. So this morning, the only book I brought was my "Just for Today," and of course I looked it up in the handy glossary, as we've been told earlier. It's a really, really great resource. I didn't know what a glossary was before I got clean. And so on page 9, first reference to sponsorship on January 9th, and it says, this is from the basic text, page 55, that's the chapter I told you about. Our earliest involvement with others often begins with our sponsor. And for me, when I got here, I was completely incapable of human interaction. I really was. My sponsor said, you know, it's not that you're not sociable. You're not social. Spending all those months in that room in the dark, you know, didn't help. And it truly is. I mean, he's the guy. I heard a guy say at my home group last week. He said, pick a sponsor who you think you might call. The primary issue is, will I call this guy? And for me, that sentence is exactly what occurred for me. When I got here, I couldn't talk to anybody. I came to meetings early because there weren't very many people at the meeting early, and there was stuff for me to do. You know, I could stay busy. And when that meeting ended, I left. I got the hell out of Dodge. I didn't go for coffee until I was here in that point. I didn't know how to do people. But from the get-go, my sponsor told me to call him. And so that's what I did. And he made it easy for me to ask him to be a sponsor. And at that stage of the game, he had 4 years clean, and he seemed so serene, so centered. And I wondered what he had. And the interesting thing is, I've been really fortunate in that in 15 years that I've been here, I have the same sponsor. I've never had to change sponsors. He still has what I want. He still has a level of serenity that I admire. The balance in his life is very, very attractive. So anyway, page 9. I think the next one's page 40. February 8th. What is a sponsor? This was a good one for me. Because I figured, I was going to go to this place on Christmas Eve. We were going to exchange gifts. I thought maybe we'd go fishing together a little bit if I need a couple of bucks at home or something. This is what I thought my sponsor was doing. When I first got here, that's what he'd take me under his wing and, take me with him wherever he went. I really thought that. We know we can look to our sponsor, but it's our responsibility to get in touch with them. I'm not sure if that answers the question, what is a sponsor, but then there's an essay below that. But this is right out of the IP number 11 sponsorship. We know that we can look to our sponsor, but it's our responsibility to get in touch with them. I was clean for about a year, and it wasn't working. I was watching other guys, and they seemed to have this rich relationship with their sponsor, and I just didn't feel very very enriching. And there was this other guy who I'd known from the 70s. He got clean back in the 70s, and he came back into my life, and I thought, well, I'll need to make this guy my sponsor. So I went to my sponsor and I said, I told him, it just doesn't seem to be yelling like I'd like it to be, and I think I'm going to move on to this other guy. And he said, that's okay. That's all right. He said, but let me give you just one last piece of advice. If you put into that relationship what you put into this relationship, you're probably going to end up in the same spot. I hate it when he does that. I had to stop, and I had to evaluate, and I had to realize that he was right. And then I had to go to the guy who was my old friend and say, I was wrong. I really think I need to stay here where I'm at. And the reality of it is, it was the best place for me. And one of the lessons that it taught me was that if there's something going wrong in my relationship with my sponsor, it usually resides with me. Now I can say as a sponsor there have been times that I've fallen short of my end of that responsibility, because as a sponsor, I also have a responsibility. And for me, it's probably one of the hardest things, because it requires active listening through selflessness. I don't do either one of them well. They call me and I'm in the middle of something, and I have to say, okay, let me stop for a second and turn off my computer or turn off the television or put down the book, and let me be available for you. you know, that's a lesson I've learned. And sometimes I need to remind myself of it, you know, because I, you know, what I'm doing is really important. You know, I do some important stuff. And, you know, it's never as important as what they got. And they always tell me the same thing over again, too. Which might be something I need to look at. Page 75. There's only one more after this one. March 13th. That one special person. With one sponsor, we can learn to build a relationship based on trust and honesty. Mm-hmm. Through shared experience, the sponsor is able to reflect on personal growth. With one sponsor, new guys, I don't see any here, but if there's any new guys, one sponsor, not two, not three, not five, one sponsor, we can learn to build a relationship based on trust and honesty. I did my fourth step, my fifth step with my sponsor. He got it all. And it's never come back to me. And I don't mean, not only has it not come back to me through a third person, it's never come back to me from him. It's as if it went in, we did what we needed to do with it, and it was done. He erased it. And again, being fortunate enough to be on the other side of a couple of fifth steps, using his guidance, what he did, using him as a guide, I've been able to do the same thing. I mean, there's guys I sponsor. I've heard this just stuff. If I had to tell you about it, I couldn't. It's gone. It's not there anymore. I didn't retain it. We kept it long enough to do what we needed to do, and I was able to move on with it. What he tells me, I know, is to the best of his ability, the best he can give. And, you know, it goes, there's without question. I don't have any, I just had my anniversary was the beginning of the month, and, you know, he and I were talking, and it was a huge anniversary for me, because of the year that I survived, and, you guys helped me survive, and, you know, I was talking about it, and, you know, there's very few constants in my life. My life has changed in ways that it's just been absolutely spectacular, and sometimes I didn't realize how good it was going to be when I was in the middle of something, but it turned out to blossom into something that was just absolutely beautiful. And so everything's changed since I got clean. Everything. Except for one. And that's him. He has just been so constant for me. He's always been exactly what he was from day one. And, you know, it's, again, admirable is the word that comes to mind for me. And I do. I use him as a model to sponsor the guys I sponsor. One more. Page, I think it's 88. Believe it or not, remembering four numbers for an hour and a half. Pretty damn good for me nowadays. I gotta tell you. Trusting a sponsor worth the risk. Again, from IP11 sponsorship. A sponsor is someone we can trust and share our life experiences with. Yeah, he got the fourth step, and he got the fifth step. And, you know, those things were things I did in the bag. And I don't have much shame or guilt for those things. A little bit. But where my embarrassment and my shame resides today is in the things that I find myself thinking and doing clean. And, you know, I don't want to tell him that stuff. You know, it's with all the things said about him already, I don't want to tell him. You know, it's something else about him is that I've been with him for 15 years. I pretty much don't need to call him to know what he's going to say. As constant and as dependable as he is, I know what he's going to say. I hear his words. And, of course, that still, and I've used that as a justification to not tell him stuff. But of course, you know, I know I didn't tell him. And it poisons the relationship from my end. And that lack of openness it will undermine the relationship. Because I firmly recognize that when I'm not honest in a relationship, the other person, whether they recognize that they're sensing that lack of honesty, or whether it's something that's much more underlying, subversive, it still occurs, and it diminishes the relationship. Honesty and integrity and trust are things that can be felt, and so to maintain the quality of the relationship, I have to be honest with, regardless of how, you know, it's 14 years clean when you're talking about, you know, I was following my ex-wife around, you know? But, you know, like Magnum or something. And I had to call him up and tell him, you know, how I got my wife under surveillance. And I just told all you guys. I don't do that anymore. I only did it for a minute or two.
So lovely.
Actually, my dad pulled me out of that one. God bless him, because he had gone through the same experience about 30 years ago. And he said, "You're not falling around, are you?" No. Yeah, I am. So it's the essence of the program. You know, I mean, that's my canned response to when somebody says sponsorship. My canned response is, it's the seed. It's where it all came from. You know, before there was retreats, before there was the Just for Today, before there was literature, before there was even meetings, there was sponsorship. That's where this comes from. That's where the therapeutic value of one addict helping another was born. And so for me, you know, one of the things that we do inadvertently, we tell people, come on in, get a cup of coffee, sit down, go to meetings and don't take nothing. Just go to meetings and just keep going to meetings and please don't take nothing. And that's really, really great direction. But if sponsorship is the essence, if it is the seed, well then certainly it is one of the most important components. And for me, it has been one of the most important components. Now, as time has gone on, and the men in my life, I have more than two friends today, which is pretty good. I couldn't say that a couple of years ago. But now I have other resources beyond my sponsor. But I got to tell you, there was a lot of years that the only real resource I had was him. And I think that one of the things that I do now when I have new guys come into my life is I tell them straight up, you know, this is a primary component of your relationship or of your recovery. And if it ain't working, do something. I help you find another sponsor if you think that's what you need to help you make the connection. It really ain't a numbers game for me. I mean, actually less is better when it comes to that, you know. But that kind of takes care of itself too, unfortunately. I could tell you the second step to it, but you laughed a couple of times, so I'll let you take that for another time. I'm done, thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Our second speaker this morning, I just met yesterday. He's got a great smile and vibrant eyes, and to me that says me she's alive and enjoying her recovery. And I'm anxious to hear her. I'll give you Devin from Miracles in the Mountains of the Poconos area. Hi, my name is Devin and I'm an addict.
Hi,
I'm going to sit if nobody mind. That was a lovely introduction. It's nice to know I'm alive, and I feel that way today. I'm feeling so nervous, and I can't tell how much of it is like nerves. And I gave up drinking coffee in the wintertime because I got really sick. And I didn't really want to give up coffee, but I gave it up because it made me really sick. And I thought, well, it's a bad habit. Let me just, you know, I don't want it. And I started drinking tea, and it's not that bad. Well, this morning there's no tea, and I had a big cup of coffee, so I'm like thinking this is not probably the best way to go.
But since Steve warmed up the crowd and everything, and I don't feel quite as much pressure now, I had exactly the same experience. It's so strange because I feel grateful to, I feel honored and grateful to the committee for asking me to speak. I always feel nervous about it whenever I have to speak because I see it as a responsibility, and I never trust my own, like myself, to get myself out of the way enough to let God in. But I do always pray. So, like I heard the speaker who, the early meeting, right, you just pray and you just try to trust that whatever comes out is supposed to come out. And like as I'm listening to Stephen, I'm thinking, I was blank. I couldn't go the whole, like there was no little outline, there was just nothing. I feel, this is one of the areas of my recovery, like I feel real confident in a lot of my other areas of service and a lot of things, but because my relationships in my life have been so screwed up for so long, like sponsorship is a real scary thing for me on both ends. The trust thing, like trusting a sponsor and going that way, and like all the just maladaptive patterns that I learned when I was younger, wanting somebody to save me, wanting somebody to fix me, wanting the answers, you know, given to me, wanting things without doing the work, like wanting to be caretaker, or you know what I mean, or not wanting to be told what to do, or whatever it is, it didn't work with what I thought a sponsor was supposed to be. And then on the other end, like I can be a caretaker, I can feel responsible for the work, like so all this shit going on, and I'm just kind of confused in the middle. I came into Narcotics Anonymous for the first time in 1985, and like I have to say that as I was sitting there listening to Steve, like I had several sponsors. I did, I think, 3 different fifth steps over the years, 4th and 5th steps with 3 different sponsors, had different experiences in different areas of my life, and I have to say that I think without each one of those women, I wouldn't be here today. Mm-hmm. And I mean it, man. Every single one, even no matter how, even if it was sick in a twisted kind of way, whatever it was, I got what I needed to be where I am today. And I'm extremely grateful for those people who were there for me. And in the beginning, I was 19 when I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and I was terrified, man. I was terrified. And I needed somebody who was going to be safe. Somebody who wasn't going to call me on my shit. I didn't need one of those kick-ass set-up kind of, you know what I mean? I couldn't handle that, you know? And my God knows what I needed. And I was given a very loving, warm, you know, person who was like, you know, in addictions counseling or something. And she was just like a real, and she loved me. And she was just really, you know. And I needed that. I needed that unconditional love, like don't demand anything from me. Just love me because I was starved for it, you know? And that loved me into the program, and it got me where I needed to get on that leg of the journey. I think like all these things that I stated in the beginning about like learning about relationships, like I'm just starting to learn a lot of that right now, which is probably no coincidence why I got asked to speak on this subject. Like for some reason, this year has been my like sponsorship year. Like I don't know where it came from, but like I somehow got the inspiration to like be involved in the sponsorship workshop that we had in our area, and you know, went to the region to be on the literature committee for sponsorship and all that stuff. Not that I know anything about any of that. I just know that it's important. Like it's been important to me. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that's the most important thing I try to remember when I got really nervous about being able to carry a clear, important message for somebody who needs to know, you know, what a sponsor is. I'm thinking, well, you know what, there is no one thing, you know, that it's got to be. It's not like I'm not going to be right or wrong or anything. All I have to give in any circumstances, my experience thinking of, which is what the basic test tells me I'm supposed to have. And that's all, and that's one of the ground rules that I have, like, as a sponsor and as a sponsee, I guess. You know, like, I don't take, you know, direction well. I'm not one of those people. And there's people who like that. Like, I know a lot of people from the old school who, like, say, and don't take offense that any of you from the old school. But, like, they'll say, you know, when I got here, it was sit down, shut up, quit, you know, like, all this stuff. Or, you know, and some people need that. I'm not saying, like, I think that my belief is that, you know, our higher power, you know, my higher power gives me what I need, and your higher power is going to give you what you need. You're going to get led to just what you need to stay clean. And a lot of sponsorship for me is beginning to be like learning how to trust that, you know, because I am always afraid, because I'm always forgetting that I'm not running the show. You know, I think I'm supposed to be running the show, and like I have to constantly be reminded that no, I'm not. I'm just like a vehicle. So, Anyway, I guess the last time that I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, it was after being clean for 7 years and getting high and being on a 3-year run, okay, with a head full of programs and a body full of drugs. And for anybody who's never had the pain and gift of experiencing that, like, I say it's only a gift. It's a gift because, I mean, it's a miracle beyond miracles that I'm here today. And it is such a gift, that experience to me today, you know. There's so many things that would not be were it not for that experience in my life. But I, at the that last run, like, I think I had never been on methadone before when I got into the program. That last run, I was going back and forth from, like, methadone, these morphine patches, and dope. And I wasn't shooting it, so I figured I was controlling it, right? Even though I couldn't, but I had such a habit that I physically could not stop using. And I just, like, I would be drinking it, buying it off the streets, drinking methadone, going on program, and I would just be doing this endless circle of trying to get off. Like, I'll just use the, and I use dope to get me off the methadone and use that. But it's true. It's like, it's it. Because you never, if anybody has ever detoxed methadone, you feel like your legs are going to be, I mean, like, I've never in my whole life felt anything like it, and I pray that I never will again. But I didn't have the courage to do it, and I didn't think I could. And my higher power put somebody in my life at that time, which I think today is like a miracle, and I will never forget it. You know, she was a woman who came to my, she came to my house, put signs up all over my house. You can do it. You only, and the one thing that rang through out of all these signs was, you only have to do this once. Because that was the thing I needed to hear. She had 10 or 15, you know, of them in the mirror, in the bed. A lot of them in the bathroom, because I was in there, you know. But there were, you know, signs like, the minute I opened my eyes, there'd be a big sign in Maggie's marker, you know what I mean? And she held my hand, you know what I mean? And she came, and I'll never, ever, ever, never forget her for that, you know. And I think that that kindness that she showed to me not only saved my life, but it changed me, because it made, I felt like after having gone through that, I had an amount of gratitude that I thought, if I could ever do anything like that, you know, for somebody, it made me want to be that way, you know, because I saw how much it helped me. And I wouldn't be alive, man. I wouldn't be alive. Now, she got me through that part. Like, I kept, I was, the disease was so rampant in my mind, I still had a bottle of wine for 6 months in my refrigerator, but I was like, at least I was off the shit. You know, I was off the shit, and I was going to meetings. You know, this time I had a long situation where I couldn't go into a detox or couldn't do anything like that this time. But she helped me through that, and I eventually asked her to be my sponsor. She also had, I've had been living with HIV for and hepatitis since 1987, and she also was, and she was real positive, man. And she was just like, she was healthy, she was passionate, she was spiritual, and I was like, yeah, I want to be you. I like just thought, this is it, you know. And I thought this was my savior, because that's where I was at, like, at the time. And it was a savior in a lot of respects. But, you know, we began to work the program as I stayed clean and kept going to meetings. And, let's see, I'm going to lose track of time. Somebody's going to have to give me a signal, because I have no idea. Whenever it's time, here, I'll give you this, because I can't do it. Anyway, she, thanks, that'll be good. All right. Okay, now where was I? Who was saying that? Like, where was I? My memory cells are gone.
I wanted to be her. Nope.
Thank you. That was perfect. That's exactly where I was. It's so nice to know somebody's listening. She was really cool, and she was really positive, and she was doing all this really alternative stuff. And I thought, maybe I can survive. Because one of the reasons I think that I had relapsed was because there were a few certain, like, in the whole 7 years that I was clean where I lived before, there were about 5 people who knew I had the virus, you know what I mean? And I didn't talk about it. Like, I just kind of pretended it wasn't there. I figured, that's like that same thing we always do when we're coming in. It ain't going to happen to me, you know what I mean? It's in my body, but it ain't going to happen to me, you know? And I lived, and I actually truly am not going to knock that, because I think that denial has saved my life and continues to a certain degree, you know what I mean? Because I think if I were to accept the reality of what the experts think is the truth, because they are not miracle-minded, so they are not, like, open to the possibilities that we are here. Narcotics Anonymous changed my life in many ways. But anyway, she was a miracle to me at that time, and she was an inspiration for living. So, you know, I identified with her, I trusted her, and she was there for me. I asked her to be my sponsor. And, you know, she was from a school, she was from New York City, you know, had moved, relocated to the Poconos, and she was not, a big step girl, at least in the beginning. She was more of a, you know what I mean, just, we talked and we related, and I guess they, you know, in her, where she was taught, you know, you waited for a little while or whatever before you went into the steps, and I was eager, because I had been, like, I wanted to work this first step, and I wanted to work it that way. You know, like, I'm thinking, I did something wrong, because I kept missing the boat, you know, and at that time, like, I was just desperate for guidance from, you know, the steps. I believed that the solution was in the steps. But I was chastened, and I was willing, and, but she got, something happened, and she got sick. And it really freaked me out. And it freaked me out. Besides the fact that she had some maladaptive kind of codependent characteristics of her own, and I started to learn, I was beginning to open to, and God was putting people in my life that were helping me to learn my not-so-healthy relationship problem, you know what I mean? And I noticed it with her. Like, I noticed her caretaking of me, and I started thinking, this isn't good for me. You know what I mean? This isn't good for me. But I had a loyalty beyond, you know, that street loyalty, and also a loyalty that she saved my life, you know? So I didn't, I had this, and the tremendous, like, people-pleasing. I didn't want to hurt her, especially if she had done so much to me. But I was also terrified because every person I had ever known since I found out that I was positive, every single one that I let know, that and I only let them know because they were positive. Like, I only let people know who were positive themselves, and I felt like, okay, I have to let you know so I can help you, you know, like, so I can show you that you don't have to die or whatever. But every one of them died. So I was freaking out. Like, I was like, okay, here's this one person who I was trusting, and she was going to die on me. And I couldn't watch it. And I'm thinking, if she dies, there's no way. Like, I can't make it if she does. If she doesn't do this, you know, she was my inspiration, she was my hope. And it was, God, it was the hardest thing in the world ever, ever that I had to do. Like, because I have on the one hand inside of me this part of me saying, if you don't find somebody who is able to work the program and who is able to guide you through some of these fears, to go, and stop listening to that, like, that street loyalty that says, that means that you know, I have to worry about how you feel more than about my own life. Do you know what I mean? I have to worry about, you know, how much I'm going to hurt you if I abandon you when you're dead. You know what I mean? I was caretaking for her, you know? And she was, at the time, she had been thrown into a whirlwind of fear because of all the shit that was happening to her. So she was relying on me. You know what I mean? It wasn't like just my own twisted perception. She, you know, her ego had come back up a lot, and she was relying on, you know, like all her sponsees and different things like that made her feel self-worth. So, like, and I took it on. And it was like this, that was one of those surrenders, man, where it was like, I, and I never got on my feet so much. Like, I had a hard time getting back with my spirituality when I came back into the rooms for many different reasons. There were a lot of different reasons. That's been a very slow process for me, but I was on my knees. And that's the way it always comes. When I'm in enough pain, I don't care about my intellect or what I want to perceive as a God of mine. I'm on my knees because it hurts. You know what I mean? And I need some answers, and I'm desperate. And there is no one else. Like, what's worse in our area, like, there's not many women with a lot of time. And that's a, like, I've heard that that's a hard thing for a lot of women in a lot of places. But when I got into recovery there were three women with clean time more than me, and I had a day clean. You know what I mean? And it was, there weren't too many to choose from. And she was one of these few women that had some time, so that was another. It wasn't like, oh, okay, I could just ask this one to find for me. And I mean, I'm on my knees thinking, not only, like, I don't want to go through this, I think it's sick, but there's no alternative. Like, what am I supposed to do? You know? And I got on my knees, and I just begged, and I just, and I did the best that I could to surrender the way that I was taught, that, you know, in years gone by, like, just to surrender everything. And I said, whatever you want me to do. Whatever you want me to do. And I did it every night. And I just said, please help me because I want to live. You know, I want to live and I don't see how it's going to happen. So either change how I see or, do, you know, open something up. And like out of the blue, out of the sky, a woman showed up at a meeting on Tuesday night meeting, and I won't forget it ever. I won't forget it ever. Because I thought she was a newcomer because she didn't speak. Fortunately, that's the one thing I could say I feel good about. Like, in my recovery, I have been able to, like, I'm good at coming up to the new person. You know what I mean? I'm good at coming up to the person who It's one of the strongest things that I have done. Like when I see somebody new, I go up to them right away. Because I remember that. I remember feeling alone when I came here. And I always just try to make a connection. And so I went up to her and I tried to make her feel welcome. And I thought she was brand new. And it turns out that God has just, you know, God, my God, you know, is very creative and gave me one of the greatest gifts in my life. And, you know, she had been in NA for quite some time and then had gone through some problems and was in it and, like, kind of backed out of NA, went to another fellowship for a little while because she was scared. And she had to work through some relationship issues or whatever. And she had just started coming back to NA, like, that day. You know what I mean? And I talked to her afterwards, and I never met anyone with whom I related so much, like, right away. Like, we started talking, and it was like, that it was like glue, instantly. You know what I mean? It was like, I knew it was my miracle. You know, and I tried really hard not to, like, I'm the kind of person who was always looking for that miracle, and as soon as I, like, maybe that's the miracle, and I'll go, like, you know? And I tried not to do that, because I know how I get. You know, I get so excited, like, maybe this is it, and I'll, like, you know, suck everything out of it. And I tried to be a little bit less, you know, attached to, you know, like, try to trust God more, my God more. And it just developed and it worked out and it's been a miracle ever since. You know what I mean? It's been a miracle ever since. And God, this is strange. This is not at all what I expected I was going to be talking about. Isn't that weird? No clue what I was going to be talking about. This is like the last thing I thought I was going to be talking about. But it's been, I mean, as a result of my relationship with her, I really think about it. I have learned more about relationships in this relationship with her. I think I was like roughly 6 months clean and I'm going to have 4 years next month back. And in that 3.5 years that I, you know, she and I have been communicating, I have learned more about relationships with, you know, love relationships, parent relationships, sister relationships, sponsor relationships, like the relationships with the clerk, you know, like I have just learned so much about relationships because of all the hard work that she put into her life. And this is why it's no joke, because it's not only did we relate on, like she has the same kind of relationship story I have, but what was cool was that she had been working on it, you know, and living it. You know how hard it is to find somebody, even in Narcotics Anonymous, who has the courage to face those issues. Like relationship issues are some of the scariest issues in the world. We all want to be loved. We all feel like we all have abandonment. We all like are looking for that dream. We all got that shit going on, man. And this woman had the courage to go through some of those fears that I wasn't ever wanting to touch, you know what I mean? And together we have learned so much from each other and, you know, together. And like one of the best things that, you know, she hasn't ever given me direction specifically. Like when I wanted to get involved, and I did get involved when I was 6 months clean with somebody else. And she said, you know, she never said, you know, nah, never. You know what I mean? It was always like, how can I condemn what I did? You know what I mean? That's all. Just don't use and go to meet. And that's really the most important thing. And she was there for me when I was ready to learn the lessons that I needed to learn. And I stepped back off of that relationship when I needed to do that. And I went back to it when I was, you know, ready to do that. And, you know, and as a result of that, like I have, for the first time in my life, I'm engaged to be married. And I'm 35 years old and I've never even considered being married. And that's the God's honest truth. I mean, I had that dream, but nobody could live up to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have never had a good relationship, ever, you know? Because it was always about, what can I get? What can I get? What are you going to give me? What are you going to give me? Not materially, but emotionally. Like, what are you going to give me? Give me, give me. And it was never about showing up in a relationship looking to give, looking to compromise, looking to, you know what I mean, looking to be a part of a two, a part of a we. So I learned some things about that. And all these things, like, things that I'm learning with, you know, from my sponsor and things about sponsorship, there a lot of them are the same. You know, they're about how are we doing now? Pretty good? Okay. A couple more minutes. I'm trying to get an idea. Should we go off on this story or shouldn't we?
Nope.
Now I'm blank again. All right. Sorry to went right past you. There has to be another one. That's all right. Let's see. Who knows? Let's just pick anywhere. Pick from the middle. I don't know. don't really know where to go with that. I don't know where I was going. I'm trying, like, because I'm trying to remember, but it's just not going to come back. I need to remember that. But I guess, let's see, the reason why I will go with the reason why I was very nervous about sharing was that my relationship, like, in the past, when I stayed clean for those times, extended periods of time, sponsorship was never a big thing for me. You know what I mean? Like, in the, being a sponsor, it's not a big thing. It was not one of the ways that I served. And I felt like, because I think it worked out that way. I think God just spared a lot of people from me. Because I was one of those people who thought that I needed to tell you how to live. You know? And I didn't know how to live myself. So how could I tell you? You know, so I would be hiding, like, from that responsibility a lot. And, like, you know, I've had sponsees this time around, like, and it's strange, because, like, I have other people calling me who aren't my sponsees, who I really connect with, and they want recovery, and they're really interested. And the people who have shown up in my life to be sponsees, it hasn't been that way. And it's strange. Like, I'm trying to trust that process, too. Like, they're in my life for a reason, but it isn't, like, some of the reasons are for me to learn about, like, setting boundaries, which I suck at. You know what I mean? I just suck at it. And so I keep getting these people who are, like, plowing down my boundaries so that I can practice setting them up, you know? And that's the truth. That comes a lot. That's shown up a lot in my life, you know? And guess what? I'm getting better at it. You know, I'm getting real good at it now. Because now I'm getting to the point where, you know what? If you don't have it, like, when I came into recovery this last time, I was so desperate. I was at my sponsor's house, you know, biting at the bit for a chance to talk with her because I needed what she had. You know what I mean? I wanted to know. I've since learned that there is no perfect understanding of a first step. It's just something that I learn on it, that I have to practice on a daily basis. It's not something I get once and it just covers me from relapse. You know what I mean? Like, because I can work it perfectly for 5 years and in the sixth year, if I'm not working it, I'm not going to stay. You know, and I learned that from my relapses. But we've learned, you know, a lot together, and the people who've shown up have taught me a lot of different things. You know, they've taught me a lot of different things. And it's tough. Like, right now I'm struggling because the people that have asked me to sponsor them don't want it like I did. You know what I mean? They don't behave like I behave. They're not at my house calling me. And I feel like I struggle with what is my responsibility. You know what I mean? How long do I give them before I call them and see if they're okay? Do I call them at all? You know what I mean? Like, what do you do? Like, what is my responsibility? Is it just to be there when they're ready? Or do I give them a little nudge? You know what I mean? And what I try to do is the same thing like I do when I come here, and the same thing. When I get to this point, I start figuring out, like, trying to figure it out. What am I supposed to do? Then I know I gotta pray. You know what I mean? No matter how far away I might feel from my higher power, I gotta pray. And that's what I, and the truth of the matter is, I will say that's one thing I do, that whenever I get on the phone with a sponsee, that is the first thing I do. That is the first thing I do. I get on the phone and I pray, and I don't make a big long thing out of it unless they're really in a bad place, and then I'm on my knees while I'm talking to them. Like, hey, but usually it's just like, God, you know what I mean? Will you let me get out of the way and so that you can do your work? Because I have no idea what experiences of mine that I'm supposed to be sharing with them at that time. I don't know any of it. And, like, some of it I learned from watching other people, some of it I learned from my sponsors, but sometimes I'm just surprised, you know? Just like I was when I got up here before, you know what I mean? But if you ask, you know, if I ask my higher power, you know, I get out of the way sometimes, and sometimes the message gets through. And, thanks for that. Okay, I'll wrap it right up. She would tell me about my eyes before, and then I get away. Now I love it. But, let's see. Let's wrap it up. Blank again. I don't know what else I do. I want to get a nice round. I'm not very good at that, stringing it along and having a nice ending. I'm probably just like, well, that's all I have to say. Now I forgot what I was going to go on to next, so thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Devin. Brilliant smile, brilliant message. Can we have the reading of just for today? So we got.
Sonia on Attic.
Hey, Sonia.
Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery and enjoying life without. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA to help me with my recovery. Today, I will have a program to try to follow. Just for today, Joanne and I will try to get a better perspective on it. Just for today, I will be on a break.